Who's ever played the piano with no sustain pedal? Anyone ever done that before? Sustain is what makes the ring out. So Megan looks over. We practice. Everything went great. We start the first song. She goes, I don't have sustain. So God bless it. She went, you might not even notice that, went through that entire thing with no sustain pedal. So God, please heal that pedal in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, I'm changing things up this week. We are doing a series. We've been walking through the 10 most understood verses where we just take a verse that many people may have heard, and is it really in the right context? And so I'm taking a break from that for this particular day. I was thinking about what is it that we're trying to do by a block party? And it took me back to my favorite verse. Who's ever heard me say my favorite verse before? Anybody? Go ahead. That's my mom. She probably taught me that verse when I was that tall. Matthew 5:16, and it's talking about a light. And it talks about how we can maintain that light. So really the title of this is Be the Light. So think about this as we go out today. Not that, don't get me wrong, not that we walk out and all these people are projects and these are just people. We're just people. And so what we're trying to do on this earth is to serve it like our Creator has planned. And so God created this earth. His Son, Jesus Christ, was brought to us because we needed a Savior. We fell to sin. Adam and Eve started the whole thing. We followed suit, and we needed a Savior. And so a light came our way. In the New Testament, it talks about Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. And then what happened? He was raised at the age of 30, he began a missionary journey to show people, hey, this is what the Bible means. This is what it's about. And man, what's so cool about the Bible, the people that refute it struggle, because you can go back like in Isaiah 700 years and it describes Jesus being the Messiah, being the lamb led to slaughter. It talks about him being beaten beyond recognition. It talks about him dying a martyr's death. This is all in Isaiah in the Old Testament. And here, 700 years later, there's a 400-year gap between the Old Testament and the New. Here this Jesus is born of a virgin. He was a lamb led to slaughter. He was beaten beyond recognition. I mean, the prophecy proves the truth of the Word of God. And so Jesus coming, he was our light. So what I want to talk about is Matthew 5:14-16 about a light and the ability that we have to be that light. And what does that mean when we have that light within us? What do we do with it? And so be the light. Who has ever directed someone in a positive way? Anybody? Are we a bunch of heathens in here? Okay. Who's ever gone out of your way to help somebody out? You see that they're going in a direction that's not good, and you know that you can do something about that. Anybody? Did it take sacrifice? Was it always convenient? Now picture you being able to help someone from a life that has no hope and no answer to pointing them towards a hope. Pointing them towards an eternity. If you want to get really deep and go real far, allow them to see that they have an opportunity to spend an eternity with God versus an eternity with Satan. And so that's what we have the opportunity to do. And so I pictured, as I was going through the sermon, I pictured a lighthouse. Who's ever been to a lighthouse? What do they do for people? They help you be found. They help you. A lighthouse can do two different things. It was amazing in the study. I used to think, oh, it's always for boats. It was actually used for airplanes as well. And the first lighthouse was really a fire being lit on top of a tower. And so the light was the fire. And so it would help people like flying planes or in boats realize, wait a second, I have no idea where I'm at. It gave them a direction to go towards. Like, you know what, that's home. That's the direction I need to go. And some people could actually take their whole, wait, I'm going to the wrong, there's a light behind me, and turn around, I'm going the wrong direction. And so a lighthouse directed people towards the light, and it was towards safety. And so understanding what we're talking about here, the light that we're talking about is Jesus Christ. So the chance to be that light means that you first have to understand who Jesus is and what he did for you. And so we can talk to two different crowds here, which everyone's in one of them. Either you haven't accepted Jesus and you're not following him, or you have. And so the first thing is accepting Jesus means you come to the point you realize, I need a Savior. There's some truth to this Bible thing here, this prophecy that adds up. Wait, it makes sense. I need a Savior. And so Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And the amazing thing about him, why he was God and divine, is just 3 days later, he rose again. They had to make up a story, the people that didn't want Jesus to be seen as the Messiah, the religious leaders of all people. And so they made up the story. All the disciples came and stole the body. But they were actually soldiers that watched angels come down, move this massive stone aside, and Jesus rose again. So he is our Savior. He is our Messiah. He can save us from our sins, but we have to come to the point to admit that and say, I need a Savior. I need saved from these sins. And Lord Jesus, I ask you into my heart. So once you say, Jesus, I want you to live with me. I want you to forgive me my sins, come into my heart. You know, it's something that you can do. Anyone ever just talk to God? You don't need a licensed minister standing right there hanging onto your hand. I know we do that here, and I'm not against it. Hey, raise your hands if you want to receive, and we help you along. But that's a conversation that you just have with God. You're just admitting that you need him, that you believe that his son is the Messiah, and that you need him. And then the Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells within your spirit, and you're saved. And once that happens, you now become a light. So let's jump into Scripture. What's this doing for us? It says, you are the light of the world. So right now it's talking to people who have accepted Jesus Christ. Nowadays we would say Christians. If you're out there and you're not, say, hey, I'm not there, listen, because this is for you. This is God's plan for you. But this is talking about people who are saved. So if we want to get into the very context of the verse, Matthew 14, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and basically it's a Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7. He's on a mountain teaching his disciples, and people are crowding in to hear because they were so amazed at the authority at which Jesus spoke the word of the Bible. It's like they say he just made it come alive. And so he is speaking to his disciples. So he's saying, you are the light of the world. These disciples were following Jesus. They had made a decision to follow him. So he's saying, you that have made a decision to follow me, you are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. So let me ask you this. Chad had a message that was absolutely amazing. It was a couple of weeks ago. And it was dealing about identity. And at the time, he was talking more along the lines of people where their identity was who they thought they were sexually. I identify as. And that's big nowadays. I'm a he or a she or a they. But I started taking that identity into this. How much identity is out there? And what is your identity and what's important to you? So I want to do a little test with you. Are you ready? I'm going to ask you a question. I just want you to answer it to yourself. So, identities, different ways that I write down that we can identify, that people would identify, could be your gender, your sexual orientation, could be your occupation, skin color, your talents or skills, your faith, could be your political affiliation. So whenever I want to really get to know someone, sometimes I'll meet someone at work and they'll say, hey, Matt, take this person and work with them for a while. Or at church and I want to get to know you better, so I'll sit them down. One thing I usually say is, hey, I just want to get to know you better. So tell me about yourself. Now, if someone posed that question, I want you to answer yourself right now. Okay, guys, tell me about yourself. In your mind, what's the first thing that you would say to me? And just think about that. So answer that question. Tell me about yourself. Oops. Would you say, think about this, if you said tell me about yourself to someone and they went right into, oh, well, I work at Anderson Erickson Dairy, I've been there for 31 years, And I do a lot of the mechanics, but I also do a lot of their purge welding. It's kind of a neat process, and I'm actually the only one that does it. What would you think that person is identifying themselves as? They're identifying themselves through their work, through their occupation, because that's probably where they feel their self-worth. And so if you said, okay, tell me about yourself. And what if someone said, oh, I'm a registered Democrat? What would you think? Be nice. You'd think, okay, so the political arena and the things about that mean quite a bit to this person. And so I bet they identify themselves based on that and what the world's doing politically. What if someone said, hey, tell me about yourself. And they said, oh, well, I've been married for 30 years, and I have two kids, and one's a pastor, and the other one, she's in Chicago, and she's doing editing. What would you think that person identifies themselves as? They're finding their identification through their family. So you get the drill? So tell me about yourself. What would you say? You might say, you know what, I'm like me, well, I'm a born-again Christian. I've been married for 30 years. My family's this. And so you begin to hear the priority of what people think about themselves and the way they see themselves. And that ultimately points out to how they identify. And so as Christians, if we can think about it this way, you are the light of the world. If we find, and this is what Chad said that I loved, we find our identification through Jesus Christ, through our Creator. Doesn't that make sense? If God created us and Jesus was there for the whole thing, it says in the beginning the Word was there. He was with God. He was God. If He created us, we are identified through Him. We are made in the image of God. And so God creates us. He sends His Son down to show us the truth that the world's gotten off base here. And so He walks this earth in all perfection, just loving on people, not exhorting Himself, not worried about being the king on the throne. He is being a servant to people, but He is the Messiah. And so He is walking, showing people that are in darkness how to get to the light. And then He says here, you, if you've asked Jesus Christ into your heart, you are the light of the world. That is our identification. And once we understand our identification, it gives us purpose. Because if I identify through my work, and my purpose right now, we are so busy at the dairy, if a machine isn't breaking, they want lines ran, and I could work 7 days a week there, 12 hours a day and not get everything done. But if I identify myself as just that employee and I'm doing this good work, at the end of the day, what do I get out of it? But more than that, what do I give out of it? I'm a good employee. I accomplish work. But ultimately, that's about it. But now look at this. You are the light of the world. So if Jesus Christ is who you identify, you realize He is my Savior. I did ask Him into my heart. I do serve a purpose. Now our lives offer hope that go beyond being nice to someone or doing a good job or holding a door for someone or carrying their groceries. We have the ability to speak into their lives through our actions and our words that there is a Savior that loves you. We have the ability to point them to the Word where they can read for themselves and find out for themselves who this God is and then be transformed through the love of Jesus Christ. Is that not cool or what? Get excited, people. This is amazing. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. That power through the Holy Spirit that God gives us, it cannot be hidden. If you're human, then you probably point out your shortfalls, am I right? And you make obvious what you don't do well. Live out loud for Jesus. Love people with the love of Jesus. Stay in the Word and be guided, and your actions will point people to the light because you will walk into darkness and you will illuminate that place, not because of who you are, because of who you serve. We have power in the name of Jesus Christ. And God has called us to go out into the world and to allow that light to shine. It says that it cannot be hidden. So when you walk in the faith of Jesus Christ, your faith cannot be hidden. It will be shown through action. Matter of fact, Galen just came up to me, and he's like, he got an email from someone who heard his testimony and talked to him about how it blessed his life, and he doesn't even know who this person is. It cannot be hidden. When you speak out the truth, that word traveled to someone, and it blessed someone's life so much that they had to let him know what it did for them. That's the power of Jesus Christ. It cannot be hidden. Goes on to say, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. So basically, think about it. If we are the light of Jesus Christ and there's a basket over us and someone, they're probably saying, I really don't want to be that light, and there is a choice. I don't want to live with rules. I don't want to do things the way I do. The sin that has gone within them, they've gotten comfortable with that sin. The sad part about that is when we think about our lives, is everything that we do affects someone else. People are always watching. We're always setting an example of some sort in some way. And so if we're living a sinful lifestyle, or maybe even covering up, or maybe not covering up and just being out there with it, we are allowing other people to see and be invited into that sin. So to try and cover the light, Satan's just going to have a field day with you and use you for his purposes. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under the basket. So anyone that understands that they are the light and the power that they have through Jesus Christ and the hope and the selflessness of love, we don't want to hide that from people. Because if we have a heart like Jesus Christ, we have a heart for people. And if you're like, wait a second, people tick me off. Anybody? It happens. You're human. But reevaluate, wait a second, what am I doing here? I love people. This situation is messing me up, but Jesus died for me not because I deserved it, because he had a passionate love for me. So go beyond your personal discomforts and realize that there is someone in there that needs help. Raise your hand if you're an honest person. You say, there is an individual or individuals in my life that I really do not like to be around. I like that honesty. Let's think about this for a moment. What don't you like about them? You don't have to tell me, but just think about it. What, and it may be great reasoning. Maybe something just a little pet peeve, but there could be, you know, you could say, you know, they are cruel. They are mean, they are belittling. It's almost like you're justifying as to why they shouldn't be liked. So how do you treat people that you don't like? Has anyone ever tried giving their actions back to them? They're rude to you, so you be rude back to them. They're cruel, they put you down, they make fun of your family, so you just give it right back. What are they seeing? What are they being taught? Have you ever just tried to love someone who didn't love you? Be kind to someone who wasn't kind to you. Be understanding to someone who wasn't understanding you. Listen to someone who refused to listen to you. You are now showing them something opposite. They already have the other stuff. They don't need to be shown that. They have the bitterness. They have the hatred. There's something in their lives that is wrong, and they're reacting to it. If you're around an arrogant, boasterous person, guess what you're dealing with? Someone who's extremely insecure in who they are. And so they try to put you down to lift themselves up. They need to see light. They don't need to see the darkness that they already have. So sometimes we allow people that are just so rude and doing so many different aspects, we give that back to them. They don't need that. They already know what that looks like. They already know what it feels like. They need to see a hope. I've had more opportunities for people to come back to me and say, I don't quite get you, but over time, they soften, and we start a relationship. And I usually hear and find out why that bitterness is there, why the anger was there. Sometimes it's the way they're raised. Sometimes it's a situation. But they open up to the light. But darkness, it can't help itself. It doesn't illuminate anything. So in your struggle, I'm going to say, be the light in that situation. Realize that Jesus has forgiven you. Love on them. Give them time. Give them an ear. You don't have to bend to everything they say, but you can just... I have a friend at work that says, You know why we get along so well? We are night and day. Completely different, the way we sound, the way we talk, the way we act, the way we joke, everything is different. And he simply said, Matt, we respect each other, and he's right. I don't agree with him or his lifestyle, but he is a creation of God, and I want him to see Jesus Christ and have hope. And so I am simply light around him, and I respect him, although I don't agree with him. Who agrees with everyone you're around? You do? My gosh. That is impossible. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under. A light is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. And because of that, everyone in the house, in the same way, let your good deeds, your life, your actions, the things that come from a relationship that you have with God, from being in the Word, that's why it's so important to stay in the Word of God, to allow that just to infiltrate and come out in who you are. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. Woo! Everyone, is there a choice here? What if you guys had the power to say, okay, God, I want her and him and her and him to go to heaven. Who can I have fun with? Ken, you deserve hell. There's two Kens there, so I got you both. Now, how nice of that would be for me just to, why would I even think that, but who could think within your heart that I desire for you to have an eternal life, a non-ending battle of weeping, gnashing of teeth, fire burning, anguish that you can never escape. Who in their right heart could say, I wish that upon somebody? In your right heart. Now, I just saw a look and I liked it. It was like, But that's honesty. And now think of why, if you're struggling, why would you want that for someone? There might be something wrong in realizing what God has given us and that we have a free gift of salvation. God's asking us to give that gift out. So in the same way, let your good deeds, let your light so shine before men that they may see the good works, see your good works, and those good works lead back to God. Because if we brag about ourselves all day long, this is where I can do, and this is how I am, this is where I'm great, and all, what does those good works do for somebody else? Anyone ever been someone that just, you're around and they just brag nonstop? How does that serve you? But when people are seeing acts of love and grace and forgiveness and kindness and second and third and fourth and fifth chances, they are seeing unconditional love that comes from Jesus Christ himself. You are now being a disciple because God is working through you and he's being seen, whether you realize that or not. Our identity, as Christ followers, we are the light of the world, and our purpose is to point people to Christ with our lives. So we have to understand, how do we identify? That's why I took a lot of time with that. There's so many different ways that we can identify. Even as Christians, we can kind of get lost and think that, what's the main thing about me? The main thing may not be that you're a great employee or that you love your family very much. Those are great things. But remind yourself, the main thing is I am saved. I have been bought for a price of the blood of Jesus Christ. He gave himself for me that I could have life. That's who I identify. Because of that, I am a light of Jesus Christ. Because of that light, I have a purpose. And that purpose is, no matter what I'm doing, loving my family, working, helping a neighbor, no matter what I'm doing, my purpose is to shine the light of Jesus Christ, to let people know that there is a God that loves them, there's a Jesus who died for them, and there is an eternal hope that they can have. That is our purpose. And so if we get lost in our identity, we get lost in our purpose. If you're identifying as something else and your purpose is to do that other thing real well, do that real well, but really, where's the eternal hope in that? God tells me to work hard, so I'm not saying, hey, just love Jesus and don't do anything else well. Do things well, but realize who you are You're a light, and what is your purpose? Spread the gospel of Jesus Christ with your life. And identity is our focus point. An identity firmly rooted in Christ reveals our purpose. An identity firmly rooted in Christ reveals our purpose. So know this. As we prepare to walk out of here, out to there, where we're just trying to reach a community and bless people who maybe feel like they don't need God or just for whatever different reason don't have that opportunity or haven't taken the opportunity. As we go out there and we see things that, I'm not just talking the block party, but in our world, that maybe repel us and maybe we put walls up to divide us from these types of people, realize that we have to be deeply rooted in Christ for us to understand our purpose. So to be in the Word, be a part of a body that loves Jesus, and that even in our own perfection, we're all trying to get to the same place, that we're all going the same direction. Be rooted in the Word of God. This thing I am in every day, not because I'm a licensed minister, but because I just want to serve Jesus to the best of my ability. This Word builds who I am. It gives me the strength. It gives me the patience. It gives me the very fruit of the Spirit. Think about it, the love and the joy and the peace and the patience and the kindness and the goodness and the gentleness and the self-control. Those things don't come at us readily through the world. They come at us through the grace of Jesus Christ and His Word. We're in this Word. That's what comes out, and that's what's seen. An identity firmly rooted in Christ reveals our purpose. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I pray right now that we will know who we are and what our purpose is, and that our light is Jesus within us. So may we serve you, dear God. Give us the ability to love people that seem unlovable, that seem different. Why? Because we just want to be you to them. So God, we ask now as we walk out of this building, I pray that you will amaze us with what you're going to do. I pray that we will meet people. I pray that they will be just open to knowing, hey, this is a church in the community. I didn't even know it was here. And we have an opportunity for us to hear about this Jesus. I pray that kids will be blessed. I pray many things, that even the church could grow. But if none of that happens, may we look at you and say, regardless if I see it or not, I am a light. That is how I identify. And my purpose is to be Jesus to this world. So may we walk in that way individually. You love us all. You know us all. We're all different in different ways. We all have different places we live, work, different ways we act, different ways that we think, different anxieties. But you know us all well. And your word says that you have died for each and every one of us, and you want none, not one, not one to be lost, not one to perish, but you want us all to repent. So God, may we let our lights shine so much that people see you through our actions and are drawn to you so they can see the hope that they have in their lives. We pray all this in your name, Lord Jesus Christ, in your name alone, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.